Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Should Christians oppose mask mandates?
I like these questions that are short and to the point. And this one, obviously, I think is going to be of interest to everyone.
True.
Hopefully, everyone will find something helpful in it.
Yeah.
So first of all, let's clarify what we're actually answering. I think it's clear that this listener is asking if it's permissible to oppose mask mandates, but it's been worded as should they, and in its literal sense, the word should would convey must Christians oppose mask mandates. So I want to be clear, I'm answering the question, may Christians oppose mask mandates, or is it permissible for Christians to oppose mask mandates? So that's where we're going.
So what's your answer?
It depends. So until next time, Kyle, stop it right
well,
there.
Well, no, let's continue on. It depends on what.
Okay. Well, it depends on what you mean by oppose, because there are several things that you could mean by that. And the answer is going to change depending on what you mean.
What if oppose means to be of the opinion that the government shouldn't mandate masks?
Well, that's the softest sense in which someone might be opposed. And it's definitely one way in which we use that word all the time. I mean, people say things like, I'm opposed to cigarette smoking. And they don't typically mean that they're a member of an anti-smoking organization or they spend vacation time picketing tobacco companies. They're just talking about their opinion. They're opposed in the sense that they don't think it's right. There's nothing wrong with being of the opinion that the government shouldn't do something the government has done or is about to do. You can disagree with authority and still joyfully submit to that authority. My wife does it all the time. She's a pro. In fact, if you are having trouble with it, talk to her. There's nothing wrong with believing that the government shouldn't force people to wear masks. Now, let me stop right here. If somebody holds that opinion, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't think people should wear masks, but that the government shouldn't force them to wear masks. That's what I'm hearing from people. It's not that they don't think that people should wear them. They don't think the government should force it. So if by oppose you mean feel strongly that these mandates are the wrong course, there's nothing wrong with that.
All right. So what if oppose means take legal action to have mandates overturned?
Well, now we're ramping things up a little. And I would refer our listeners to a recent episode that we did about protesting. And I believe that was also a very short and to the point question. Should
yes.
Christians protest? That was episode 158. If you didn't listen to that, that'll have a more lengthy rationale for what I'm about to say. I don't want to rehash everything that we said in that episode. But first of all, listen to Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." So again, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Now, at first blush, that might seem to very clearly indicate, no, we shouldn't take legal action to have a government mandate overturned. But as I argued in episode 158, the highest authority in our land to which every lesser authority is beholden is our Constitution. And the Constitution itself gives us the right to redress in the courts. So if we believe that something is unconstitutional, we can sue the authorities in the courts, and we're not resisting. That's just exercising rights given to us by the highest authority in the land, which has been set over us by God. So there's nothing inherently wrong with using the proper legal channels to have a decision overturned. That really respects the authorities in place.
Right, right. But would opposing this particular mandate be morally wrong, because it would be unloving to oppose what the order is intended to accomplish, which is to keep people safe?
Okay. Maybe another way to ask that question would be, would it be unloving to take legal action to overturn a mask mandate since doing so might mean fewer people wearing masks and therefore putting more people at risk? As Christians, shouldn't we be pro-safety out of love for other people? The predominant message since early in this crisis has been, at least among Christians, and I've actually, I mean, I've heard this among non-Christians. Look, there are people fearful of getting sick, and there's the possibility of that happening. So whether the danger is as great as anyone thinks or not, it isn't the loving thing to do to comfort them, make them feel safe by wearing masks. So this biblical language of preferring the weaker brother has been applied almost exclusively to those fearful of the disease. And in fact, I've only heard it applied to those fearful of the disease. I've never heard it applied to the those of the opposite opinion. So blogs, Facebook posts, well-known writers on well-known Christian websites, just prefer one another. But that's always with those fearful of disease as the weaker brother and everyone accommodating them. But I've suspected since early on in the crisis that there are weaker brothers on both sides of this issue. And with the governor's mask mandate of the last couple of weeks, that was confirmed for me very strongly. In the last several months, I haven't heard anyone panicking about the disease like I have over the last couple of weeks about the mask mandate. I mean, people having serious physiological responses of fear, panic over the mask mandate. The predominant fear from these folks is that this is the first step toward worse government mandates like forced vaccinations, other things. And I've heard multiple people fearful that this is a precursor to how the government is going to force Christians to take the mark of the beast. Now, some on the other side might say, well, that's not happening now. This is just about masks. And so all of that is irrational. These are irrational fears. That may be the case. They would likely respond to you, if you're of that opinion, they would likely respond to you that that's no more irrational than fearing a highly survivable disease to the extent that you want everyone to be forced to cover their faces. So I think both sides, to a certain extent, have irrational fears that are driving them. And I've got a friend who's a pastor in Middletown. His name is Glenn LaRue. He wrote an article recently that I found helpful for thinking through these things. And he really articulated well how this isn't as simple as it's loving to wear a mask. It's more complicated than that. There are some moving pieces. You might find it helpful. You can find it posted on his blog, which is followandlead.net. Followandlead.net. The article is called Mask Mandates. But there are very real fears on both sides.
So, right, absolutely. Yeah. Some might say, though, that only one of those fears could actually kill you.
Yes, and both sides would say that what they are fearful of is the more likely threat. So the people fearful of the disease would say the disease is the greater threat and the more rational fear. Those afraid of the government would say the government is the greater threat and the more rational fear. I would just say to those who are pro-mandate, trust me, your brothers and sisters who oppose the mandate, they aren't just obstinate and unloving. They're terrified. They are terrified of something different than you are. They just have a different fear, but it's a very real fear. And I would say that neither side is motivated strictly by fear. There is fear and love on both sides. It would be wonderful if all sides could assign the best possible motive to everybody else, even if they don't agree on the particulars, and at least believe that the other side is doing what they're doing precisely because they love others and not because they don't. So the people who oppose the mask mandates are doing so because they think it's more of a risk to all people, not just themselves, than the disease, And those who want everyone to wear masks, they want everyone to wear masks because they think that's what's best for everyone, not just for themselves. So there's fear and love motivating both sides. And it seemed to me that both sides have assigned the worst motives to the other side and the best to themselves, thinking, well, you're motivated by fear, I'm motivated by love. I think there's fear and love on both sides, and we should think what is best of the other side as we continue down this road of the crisis.
What if oppose means disobey mask mandates?
This one is very simple in my mind. The answer is no. This is not permissible biblically. You can't just disobey. The Constitution gives the courts to us for the purpose of appealing such things, but you can't just disobey. No.
What would you say to those who appeal to the unconstitutionality of the mask mandates?
Yeah, some argue that they can or even must disobey because the mandates are illegal or unconstitutional. So I could see how some may infer from my earlier comment about the Constitution being the highest law of the land that when a lower authority goes against the Constitution, we just disregard the lower authority. The problem with that is that the individual citizen in our country, the way our system is set up, the individual citizen does not have the right to interpret and apply the Constitution for himself or herself. That actually is illegal. That's unconstitutional. If you doubt that, you might try it in a court of law. I mean, go and live your life based upon your own interpretation of the Constitution, and when you get arrested, argue in the court from your own interpretation of the Constitution. You'll quickly find it just doesn't work that way. The legislature writes the laws, the executive branch enforces the laws, the judicial branch interprets the laws. The Supreme Court is the final voice on what is constitutional and what isn't. So we don't have 330 million Supreme Courts walking around as individuals declaring things unconstitutional. Let me think about the anarchy that would result from that. There's a process. If we feel something is unconstitutional, we bring it to the courts. And that's been happening over and over during the pandemic. I mean, government mandates have been overturned left and right on the grounds of unconstitutionality, but we don't just decide for ourselves. I mean, that's how our laws are written. That is disobedience, which is ungodly and unbiblical, according to Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. Now, again, I want to be compassionate towards my brothers and sisters who are very fearful of the mask mandates, and I would just say that the Lord will give you the strength to do the right thing. And I think we're already seeing that.
Yeah, we can all agree on that. Is there ever a case when it would be justified to disobey a government mandate?
Yeah, I think we have something of a guide on that question in Acts 5, verse 29. So the apostles were apprehended, and they were told to stop spreading the gospel, which was a direct contradiction of a command given to them by the Lord Jesus. Their response to those governing authorities was, we must obey God rather than men. So when the government tells us to do something that is sinful, either by omission or commission, we must obey the order of God and to disobey the order of man. So that is kind of the rule. So we just need to ask ourselves, does this mandate or order from an earthly authority, does it call me to disobey God? If so, then I obey God rather than man. If not, I obey man because that authority has been placed over me by God. So this mask mandate, though, doesn't fit that bill. There's nothing sinful about putting a piece of cloth over your face. There's nothing sinful about putting a piece of cloth over your face while you worship. I mean, you may not prefer it. I don't prefer it, but it isn't sinful. And right. For that reason, we obey.
So what if this is a stepping stone towards something bigger? Is there warrant to disobey on something like this to prevent the government from mandating something that is sinful, or to prevent ourselves from being desensitized and giving in to something that may be sinful?
Yeah, that sounds like a slippery slope argument. It's, some people would just dismiss it out of hand for that reason. Slippery slope arguments are kind of like the whipping boys of the debate world, you know. Yeah. I actually think slippery slope arguments, or that kind of thinking, can be very wise. But these passages, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, they don't give us a slippery slope exemption when they call us to obey the governing authorities. And honestly, if we can justify disobeying a mask mandate on a slippery slope ground, we can justify anything. I mean, we could find a reason to disobey speed limits.
Yeah.
We have to evaluate every individual order on its own merits. Is this order calling me to do something sinful? And if the answer is no, then I need to obey that order. I need to respond based upon that question and just trust the Lord with the future. And I believe that for the most part, people are doing that. At the end of the day, really, the important thing we have to remind ourselves is knowing and loving the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I think a lot of these things have been a tremendous distraction from the satisfaction that is Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, let's get on that slippery slope for a moment and just trace it where it might go, where the government is mandating vaccines and telling us eventually we can't worship publicly, putting us on cattle cars like in Germany. Jesus will be all the sweeter every step of the way.
Amen.
No one can take Jesus from us. And it makes me think of Romans 8, those last few verses. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that's why we long for his return.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Yeah, I think the other thing we really want people to focus on is loving those who you may disagree with in this time. It's really easy to be so caught up in how passionate you feel about it, and nobody's discrediting how you feel. It's then when you look to the other side and say, well, they're just being unloving, or they just don't get it. And we already mess up as soon as we do that.
Yeah, so, you're right.
Yeah, hopefully this episode is helpful in those ways. Hopefully you feel that it encourages you to trust the Lord and love your neighbor, love your brother and sister in Christ, and please do share it if you feel that it will help anyone. Until next time, Greg.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.